and welcome to the Compass Catholic Podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, hosted by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the best practices for handling money. Do you realize in the Bible there are 2,500 verses that speak directly to how God wants us handling money? And we use these biblical principles as part of our small group Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can preview this study by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, Labor Day is behind us. The kids are back to school. The next big holiday is Thanksgiving. And not only does that mean a lot of good eating, but also the official start of the Christmas shopping season, and hopefully not overspending. And today we want to discuss what it means to be content when it comes to Christmas spending. So, Evelyn, if you have no Christmas spending plan, the time to put one together would be now, today, right?
You know, too often the Christmas season catches us unprepared financially, and being unprepared can lead to stress and lots of debt.
Plus, so many times we feel the pressure to make Christmas perfect, and we aren't content. There's that little word again, seven letters, content. We're not content till there's a ton of toys for the kids, and we've spent a ton of money buying gifts for every aunt, uncle, friend, neighbor, and fifth cousin 10 times removed.
John, did you know that contentment is mentioned in the Bible 7 times, and 6 times it has to do with money and possessions?
I'm surprised it isn't more than that.
So why do you think being content is such a good idea?
Scientific evidence suggests that being content or satisfied can have major benefits to your health. For starters, it promotes a healthy lifestyle, and it may help combat stress and boost your immune system and protect your heart and reduce pain. And what's more, it may even increase your life expectancy. Plus, you know what? It's in the Bible.
That's always a good idea to do something that's in the Bible, isn't it?
That's right. The fundamental reason why contentment is so important is that it's extremely vital to our own goals in life, and it can help us achieve personal ambitions and goals. And also, by being content, we have the potential to change many other lives just by being ourselves.
You know, I think that's a good point, John, because a lot of times what we do has influence on other people, and we don't even realize it, especially when we're dealing with children. You know, children learn much more by watching us and learning from us than they do by us telling them what to do. What's that saying? There's more caught than taught. So yep, we may teach kids and tell them, but if they see us doing something opposite of what we're teaching and telling them, they're often going to pick up on that. So being content also helps your children learn how to be content. You know, contentment is really in pretty short supply in our country and our culture.
Yeah, the advertising industry tries to create discontent in our lives. And, you know, they're really pretty good at it because they're just all the time showing us things that we should have, we have to have, we need it, you know, especially around the holiday. The advertisers influence us to buy more and more and more.
And if we believe the advertising, we have to buy things people don't need in order to satisfy our gift-giving obligation, and in an effort to make the people who are the recipients of the gifts happy. But you know, that really doesn't work. As you and I know, Christmas can be one of the most frustrating times of the year because it is all about the obligation to give gifts, and that often leads us into discontent.
We live in a consumer society, Evelyn, and it operates on the assumptions that more is always better. And happiness is based on having more stuff. I mean, there's even that bumper sticker, the one with the most toys at the end wins, or something similar to that.
That's your least favorite bumper sticker, isn't it?
Oh, I hate that. And, you know, it's especially true when it comes to the overload of spending that many people do at Christmas time. In Philippians 4:11-13, Paul wrote from a prison cell, I have learned to be content in whatever my circumstances. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
So Paul learned to be content. That's the key word there, isn't it?
It is. It is. He had as great a person as Paul was. I mean, the transformation that he made was just miraculous. But he still had to learn to be content.
So it's not something we're instinctively born with. We have to learn how to be content. So what do you think the foundation of contentment is?
Well, I think the first thing is that we need to be grateful for everything that we have. As Americans, we're one of the richest countries that ever existed. We live in one of the richest countries that ever existed. And even if you're barely making ends meet, you are still among the richest people on earth. And, you know, if you compare our standard of living to the standard of living of most other countries, it's just, it boggles the mind.
Well, stuff we take for granted doesn't even exist in many of the countries in the world. And I don't think we appreciate that. And that just all gets back to that lacking contentment that we experience in this country, the fact that we are in a constant acquisition for more and more and more.
Yeah, yeah. So I would suggest that if you struggle with being content, or you're just totally overwhelmed with all the obligations that pop up as it relates to Christmas, meditate on that verse from Philippians 4:11-13. Pray for the Lord to help you make wise spending decisions.
Yeah, contentment is that inner peace that accepts where we are in life and what we're able and unable to do. So it's not the constant looking for more and more and more. It's being peaceful with where we are and what we have.
You know, it's not bad to buy things, but I think it's that never-ending quest to get more and more. That can really even affect your spirituality. If the poorest of the poor people can be content, but yet you've got essentially all the money in the world and you can't be content.
And by all the money in the world, you just mean the lifestyle we have in America.
Exactly, exactly. You know, look at all the wealthy people who are just totally miserable. Nothing in this world can fill the God-shaped hole that you have in your heart.
So let's talk about some ideas to help you learn to be content this Christmas. And I think the place to start is to take a long, hard look at the previous Christmas. What went well? What was a disaster? And most importantly, how much debt did you run up?
You know, I think that's really important because I think we can learn, if we actually take the time to take a look at it, we can learn from what our past actions were. And if you were to sit down and think about what happened last Christmas, in the first place, you probably won't even be able to remember 50% of what happened.
Or the gifts you bought, or how appreciative the people were about the gifts you bought. So
exactly, yeah. Exactly. That's the key element there, because nobody remembers that's past. You know, what's in the future? What's going to happen tomorrow? We're looking for that. And, you know, think about, drill down on what you did last Christmas and what worked and what didn't. What was a disaster and what wasn't a disaster? And what's the one thing that you could do at Christmas this year that would change all that so that next September, a year from now, you will be able to think about Christmas and remember that one key thing that made Christmas so special.
You know, that's a good idea, John, because maybe this year was the year you took the kids to midnight mass for the first time, and maybe they really enjoyed it and felt like a grown-up because they got to stay up till midnight. Or maybe they were so tired and cranky that midnight mass was a disaster. Or maybe traveling halfway around the country to visit grandparents was the best thing ever because you had such a wonderful time. But maybe it was a disaster because the kids really missed being at home for Christmas. Or maybe, this is the key point here that we're going to talk about, maybe your Christmas spending was well planned and under control. Or maybe it was a disaster and you ended up facing a ton of bills in January.
And maybe you're still paying on those tons of bills from that you got in January. And that's the worst part. Absolutely. So now is the time to plan on doing more of what went well and figuring out how to avoid the disasters that occurred last year and probably the year before that, and even the year before that.
And we're really especially talking about avoiding debt for Christmas. You know, the average family spends $1,000 for Christmas on credit cards. And like you said, John, it usually takes about 10 months to pay off those Christmas charges.
You know, last Christmas, 14 million Americans were still paying off holiday debt from the previous Christmas.
That's just a hole that keeps growing, isn't it?
14 million, yeah. So it's time to stop and make some plans and stop this Christmas debt cycle that so many people have put themselves into. I mean, it's like they're jumping into a hole. You know?
They are. They're jumping into a hole called debt.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about it. Do you really think this is what Jesus had in mind as we celebrate his birth? Debt? It's not. That's not what Christmas is about. So Christmas is something we should have in the budget many, many months before Christmas arrives. And the best time to start is in January. Decide on how much you're going to spend on Christmas and save 1/12 of it every month. And that's simple, and it breaks the habit of using debt to pay for Christmas.
So if you don't already have a budget for this Christmas, I mean, here it is, we're through 3/4 of the year. You've got to figure out how much you're going to spend for Christmas, and you've only got 3 months to accumulate that amount of money. So maybe you need to pare back your plans for Christmas so that you're not going to spend so much money because you don't have the amount of time to save for it. And, you know, if you can't save for it in the next 3 months, what makes you think you're going to be able to save for it in the 3 months after Christmas?
Or pay for it in the 3 months after Christmas along with interest.
Yeah.
If you have listened to us in the past, you know how hard we push. Have a spending plan, a spending budget, even for Christmas. Start in January and set aside money that you will use for Christmas gifts, travel, food, parties. You should have an idea exactly how much it's going to cost you each and every year based on what you spent last year. And by planning, watch the stress go away when those credit card bills arrive in January or February and you have the money to pay them off in full. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal is to help you live a debt-free life. Check out compasscatholic.org to learn how we can help. Well, today, John and Evelyn are discussing a plan to be content this Christmas season. And Evelyn, contentment can be challenging to accomplish. What is that one thing I should be thinking about?
One of the things to think about is, are the people that you're buying gifts for content with Christmas, or are they under as much pressure to get into debt and buy for everybody as you are? Now may be the good time to have a discussion with the other family members about cutting back on Christmas spending, because they're probably going to be as relieved as you are to simplify things.
Yeah, and even if you're financially well off, and you know, what about your friends and family? Are they equally as well off? I would suggest that probably there's some that are better off than you and some that are much less well off than you are. And, you know, it would be a relief potentially to everybody to be able to set some parameters.
And I think there's some apprehension on the part of the family on who's going to be the first to suggest this idea.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the bad guy, right?
I don't want to be looked upon as a Scrooge at Christmas time.
I was thinking of the same word, Steve. I don't want to be the Scrooge.
But you're right, John. I think people will be relieved to think, oh, good, I don't have to buy 8 gifts this year.
Well, especially for the kids. I mean, you get to the point where the kids have 18 gifts under the tree, mm-hmm. and once they get past 3 or 4, everything else is just, they just tear through it and they don't even appreciate it.
Yeah, there's going to be that one, maybe two, that they're going to fall in love with and the others will be put to the side for right now.
Let's do a test.
A test now?
Yeah.
All right, what's
right
the test?
Now. Think about one Christmas where you got an unbelievable special gift. And Steve, I know you can start us off because you've had at least 25 Christmases, maybe mm-hmm. a few more. And tell us, what was the gift that you got that was so memorable?
There were two. Both of them, no, actually there were three, and all three were trucks. There was a Green Giant tractor trailer, a Tonka dump truck, and then there was a Mayflower moving van. But they were the three gifts that I do remember growing up. I couldn't, be honest with you, I couldn't tell you a fourth or fifth gift that I received.
What about you, John?
There's a couple of things that I remember. One time I got a tractor, like a, it was a red farm tractor. I couldn't even tell you what the brand was on it. I remember I got that in Omaha at my grandmother's house. We played with that and played with that. And one Christmas I got a transistor radio, but I remember getting that transistor radio and how cool that was.
You know what? I remember two gifts. I got a doll that was dressed as a bride, and I just thought that was so fabulous. And I got a pair of black velvet slippers. And that was the year I got my tonsils out, and I wore those black velvet slippers to the hospital. But most of what I remember is times with family. You know, I remember being at my grandma's house on Christmas Eve and going to midnight mass because her church always, for some reason, it wasn't very pretty, but they always decorated the whole church in blue Christmas lights. So it wasn't very joyous. It was kind of a somber thing. But I can just remember those Christmas lights around the altar in that church, which is now a wine bar. And I remember one Christmas, our neighbor dressed up like Santa Claus and came down, and it was snowing, and he came down the street and knocked on our door, and we were just so excited about it.
So when it comes to spending for Christmas, how do you teach someone that has never been content to all of a sudden turn on the content switch?
Well, I don't think there is such a thing as a content switch, obviously, or else I'd take my little magic wand and hit a bunch of people over the head with it.
So how do you recommend people kind of ease into being content? Because again, this is mid-September, we have all of October, November, and then it's the home stretch to Christmas.
You know, I think the first thing is for people to be realistic about their financial situation. If you get into this situation where you're overspending every Christmas and you have a ton of debt, what's driving you into that? You know, why do you feel that obligation to overspend? Do you think you're going to be able to buy your kids happiness? Never going to happen.
And there has to be some form of regret come January, February, when the credit card bills start coming in. There has to be some, gee, I wish I wouldn't have done this or this or that. It's like they have short-term memory.
Maybe the key is to start keeping a Christmas diary in January when the Christmas bills come in, and then look at it in October, November when you start buying Christmas presents and say, ooh, that was a nasty January this year.
I think that's a great idea, Evelyn, but I don't think you should start it in January. I think you should start it right now. Start a diary or a journal right now with your plans for Christmas and write down, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and then say, this is why I'm going to do these things.
Okay. Why is always a good idea, because when you push somebody for a why, often it's a shoulder shrug. I don't know. I don't know why we do that.
Yeah. So if you write down why you're thinking about doing these specific things, whatever they are, then when you look at it in January, it'll give you some logic. But you need to keep journaling in January, February when you're paying the bills. This was a really great idea, and I would do it again. Or this idea was so bad, you know, we can't throw it far enough away to get it out of our lives. And I think that if you did that, and then do it next year too, you know, when you start your Christmas planning, hopefully in January, February, when you're recovering from the debt that you created, and you're journaling that, you can also journal the things that you want to do next year for Christmas. And then keep that and keep referring to that and keep you on track. You know, it's like having a strategic plan, basically, if you want to put it in business terms, for Christmas.
That's a good idea, because I think a lot of times we just get into a rut where we do the same things over and over and over and we don't even think about it.
So do you do the same as you always suggest about grocery shopping, have a list? Do you go into a store for Christmas shopping with a list? Because some people will just spontaneously buy a gift because they think Evelyn's going to like this, when in reality, they don't know if you will like this or even have any use for this gift.
See, I think that's where it comes to buying obligatory gifts. You know, I have to buy something for my friend Steve, and I don't know what to get him, so I'll get him a purple tie with orange stripes on it.
Right.
You know, it just, when you don't know someone well enough to know what they're going to really like or what would really float their boat as far as a gift, that's when you waste money. you give them stuff they don't need or want, and it just gets to be a hassle because you're trying to buy gifts for people that you don't know that well.
So have a list and stick to it.
Have a list and stick to it. The other thing is, we know a family from church who has a gift-giving mindset, I guess. The kids get something they need, something to read, a toy they can share, something to wear, and something they want. So it's not this never-ending gift of, okay, or this never-ending pile of gifts that they have seen or thought about or heard of or, you know, watched on a commercial. It's a strategic list of what they're going to get.
Evelyn, what's your thought on buying Christmas gifts for friends?
I really do think that's one of the things that I like about our group of friends, is that we don't feel obligated to give each other presents just to prove that we like each other. That's a relief, because we're concentrating on our families, which is what's really important.
The things we've been talking about, they're probably way out of the realm of what your mind started out with when we started this program talking about Christmas. If that's the case, I think it's good, because I think maybe we've expanded your horizons just a little bit. The real thing that you've got to be doing is focusing on the reason for the season and to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And so as you're creating your plans, your strategic plan for Christmas, make a commitment to focus on the spiritual side of Christmas. And remember that Christmas is that time of the year that we should be centered on celebrating the birth of Jesus.
And when you're thinking about gifts, like Steve said, make sure you have a plan, because if you don't have a plan, you're definitely going to spend more than you intended to spend. And who wants to pile up debt for Christmas and then have to spend the next year paying it off? And like you said earlier, John, if you don't think you can afford to save and plan ahead for Christmas, how can you possibly think you're going to have enough money to pay off the credit card bills plus the interest charges after the fact?
So as you're thinking about and planning for Christmas, and really, you know, creating an important, a centered focus on what's really important at Christmas time, make this Christmas a time to practice the virtue of contentment. And remember the verse from St. Paul, Philippians 4:11, "For I have learned to be content." Anyone can learn to be content, and escaping from the discontent that the advertisers thrust upon us.
Contentment is something that you're going to have to work on, but it will pay off. I can't begin to tell you how many individuals we have coached when it comes to their finances, and the one area where they got into trouble was overspending at Christmas. And 99% of the time we would hear the same story. Oh, we were so sorry that we did that when those bills started rolling in. So we put them on a spending plan, and we would always ask them the same question. At the end of the year, when the bills started coming in, ask yourself, was Christmas any less enjoyable because you didn't go crazy and overspend? Now, if you'd like to share this show with a friend or family member, it is available absolutely free for you on demand at compasscatholic.org. All right, John and Evelyn, we have a couple of emails. Let's get to. Here's question number one. My credit is bad, and I'm thinking about working with a credit repair company. Is this a good idea?
You know, there's nothing a credit repair company can do for you that you can't do for yourself, and they charge you money to do it. Correct, John?
That's absolutely true. Two-thirds of your credit score is made up of the amount of debts that you have and the history that you have of paying your debts and bills on time. So if you just focus on paying down debt and paying on time, you'll be in much better shape.
And you can naturally increase your credit score. Now, you should also check your credit report for any mistakes, and you can do that at annualcreditreport.com.
All right, John, question number two. I'm a 30-year-old stay-at-home mom with young kids. My husband works two jobs. How can I contribute to our income?
One of the best things you can do is to be sure that you and your husband are doing a great job of managing every penny he makes. And then I'd pray to the Lord to provide an opportunity for you to earn some money working from home.
You know, I think it's also a good idea to let your friends and maybe your church family to know that you're looking for ways to supplement your family income, and they may have some suggestions for ways for you to get a part-time job that you can work from home.
All right, John and Evelyn, here's another question for you. In fact, we've had this this question on a couple of emails recently. I've heard you talk about PMI insurance on the program. What is PMI insurance?
PMI stands for Private Mortgage Insurance. It's insurance that protects your lender in case you default on your loan. The only purpose for PMI is to protect the lender, not you, even though you're the person that's paying the premiums. That's why we encourage every home buyer to save until they can put down 20% as a down payment so they won't have to buy the PMI coverage.
And if you've owned your home for a number of years, you may want to see if you have 20% equity and can discontinue the PMI, what you have to do that with your mortgage company.
All right, John and Evelyn, this one's interesting. Should I send my child to private grade school now or put that money towards college savings?
This is really a personal decision that you should make after a lot of prayer. The early formative years are crucial in the times of our children, and especially with all the secularization that we have in today's world. So when it comes to college and paying for it, you need to be creative.
You know, maybe there's community college close by they could attend and live at home for a few years to reduce their expenses. And we also know several high school seniors who graduated high school with their AA degree. So if Catholic school is important for your family, I'd say try everything you do to make sure you can send the kids there.
And if you have a question for John and Evelyn, by all means, send it to ask@compasscatholic.org. And while you're on the website, take advantage of our free resources like the calculators. If you're looking to buy a brand new home, we've got some calculators specifically for mortgages, estimating your monthly mortgage payment, also how much house you can afford. Maybe you're into retirement zone. Well, we also have a calculator, a couple of calculators there to help you calculate how much you're going to need in retirement. It will also tell you what the gap is between now and the day you retire that you need to make up. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. Remember, we have a brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to the website, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast, and there it will be. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.